Good morning, everyone. We talk a lot about a divided Congress on this program and others, but it seems that Congress can agree on one thing, Majora.
Which is?
Either doing nothing, depending on your point of view, or maintaining the status quo as far as immigration law is concerned.
True that.
Good morning. I'm John Hockenberry. I am joined by Majora Carter, who's in for Celeste Headlee during the holiday season. Majora is host of American Public Media's radio show, The Promised Land. You were aware of the DREAM Act not passing over the weekend.
A dream deferred, as I've heard it referred to, yes.
The DREAM Act would have provided, and I love this euphemism, a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who came here as children.
Right.
And graduated from college or performed military service.
Yes.
What is your path to citizenship, Majora?
My path came from three places, somewhere in West Africa, Native American community here, and also probably for whites that came to America.
And I'm descended from European whites, but basically our path to citizenship began when we opened our eyes. We were born here
in the
United States. We're born as citizens. Join us to talk about what the DREAM Act means and whether the prospect for immigration reform is greater or lesser, depending on what happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Is Israel Ortega from the Heritage Foundation. He's the editor of Libertad.org, which is the Spanish language site of the Heritage Foundation. He joins us from Arlington, Virginia. Good morning, Israel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
What's your path to citizenship?
My parents are from Mexico, and we moved to New York, and I came down to Virginia about 8 years ago. So I guess that's a short answer.
Right. And also joining us is Muzaffer Chisti, who's the director of the Migration Policy Institute at the NYU Law School. And Muzaffer, your path to citizenship?
I was born in India. I came to the U.S. as a foreign student to go to law school, became permanent resident in the 80s, and became a naturalized U.S. citizen in 1992.
Israel Ortega, I'll start with you. The DREAM Act seems like a reasonable, incremental idea. Why didn't it get passed, and are you opposed to it?
Yeah, I think the strategy kind of was wrong from the very beginning. I think doing it in the short window that we had here and Congress had, I think, was the first step that where they failed to do it right. And then also the way the many versions of the bills that were being circulated in the halls of Congress, the way it was so broad that it covered a lot more than what proponents of the DREAM Act suggested it would, I think, also opened itself up to criticism. There were a lot of loopholes that made a lot of Republicans obviously uncomfortable, but also a lot of Democrats uncomfortable too, and I think that's why it ultimately failed to pass.
I want to get a comment from Muzaffer, but are you in principle supportive of the idea that under certain circumstances a path to citizenship should be granted to individuals who came here not by their own choice and who served in the military or graduated from college? Or are you opposed to that in principle?
It really does come down to principle. Our foundation is for legal immigration. We do think that there are opportunities to improve legal immigration in this country, make it easier, streamline the process. But in principle, we can't be in the business of saying we're going to respect some laws and not follow others. And okay. So this is part of the problem that happens with the place we're in right now.
Okay, let's get a comment from Muzaffer Chisti, a director of the Migration Policy Institute at NYU Law School.
The DREAM Act, you know, this is a highly sympathetic population. These are young kids who came here with their parents and are unauthorized for no fault of their own. I think I appreciate the fact that people took exception with the process here. But the fact that the DREAM Act has been in Congress in various pieces of legislation for the last 10 years, and actually in this round, they accepted a lot of concessions which make much fewer number of people eligible for the DREAM Act and the prior act. So it was not an expanded legislation. It was actually a more contracted legislation and should have passed because the House passed it as a standalone measure and the Senate has seen various versions of it before.
What would either of you say to people who say that not passing the DREAM Act was kind of blaming the kids for the sins of their parents?
Israel?
You know, again, it's unfortunate. Of course, our foundation is very sympathetic to the fact that these children were born here, not because of their own will, but by their parents. But it really goes down to how do you prevent this from happening in the future? And one of the ways that we think is you have to do this is to enforce the rule of law. You know, in our staff, we have Attorney General Ed Meese, who worked for Reagan. He was one of the architects in drafting the 86 immigration bill. And he had a turnaround after realizing that immigration bill did not prevent future immigration, as many people said it would. And so I think that's where we have to start having this conversation about how do we go from here.
So does that conversation include mass deportations to basically enforce the law on the books and then basically allowing people to apply for citizenship in some formalized way?
Well, I don't think anyone is advocating for mass deportation. Certainly, we are not. But you know,
but it's possible,
though. We have. What's that?
Is it possible?
No. It's not possible. It's certainly not possible. We're not in the business of saying that that's the right approach. No, I think there has to be a balance in place where we have to enforce the rule of law, encourage legal immigration, but still make a deterrent so that illegal immigration doesn't continue.
Muzaffar, your comment.
I mean, yes, just about the 86 law that Attorney General Meese is obviously good. The reason we had undocumented immigration of this scale after passing the 1986 law is because we did not increase the legal streams of immigration along with the legalization passage that we did in 1986. That's what created this problem. Second is that it's a pragmatic issue today. You know, we know that these are undocumented kids who were brought in here by parents. If we do not give them legal status, what is the alternative? They keep on staying here in underground economy, in the shadows, wanting to go to college, cannot go to college. That cannot be in the interest of our society.
All right, before we go, a quick response from both of you. What is the chance, yes or no, or good or not so good, for immigration reform in the next Congress? Israel Ortega?
I think it's going to be very difficult for that to happen. I think one of the big concerns has to be to secure the border. The violence in Mexico, I think, is putting a lot of people uncomfortable about doing any type of immigration reform.
It's Israel Ortega, editor of Libertad.org, which is a Spanish-language site of the Heritage Foundation. A better or lesser chance for immigration reform, Muzaffar?
Much more difficult in the next 2 years just because of what happened in the election
ago. Muzaffar Chizdi is the director of Migration Policy Institute at the NYU Law School. The next step in immigration reform. Thanks to you both.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.